"Got to move with the times, Corporal," he said, deciding not to go there. "And we certainly need the men."
"Yeah, but supposing he wants to suck all my blood out in the middle of the night," said Strappy.
"Well, he'll just have to wait until Private Igor's finished looking for your brain, won't he?" snapped the sergeant. "Sign here, mister."
The pen scratched on the paper. After a minute or two, the vampire turned the paper over and continued writing on the other side. Vampires had long names.
"But you can call me Maledict," he said, dropping the pen back in the inkwell. "Thank you very much, I must say, sir, private. Give him the shilling, Corporal. Good job it's not a silver one, eh?"
"Yes," said Maledict, "it is."
"Next," said the sergeant.
Polly watched as a farm boy, breeches held up with string, shuffled in front of the table and looked at the quill pen with the resentful perplexity of those confronted with new technology. She turned back to the bar. The landlord glared at her in the manner of bad landlords everywhere. As her father always said, if you kept an inn, you either liked people or went mad. Oddly enough, some of the mad ones were the best at looking after their beer, but by the smell of the place, this wasn't one of those. She leaned on the bar. "Pint, please," she said, and watched glumly as the man gave a scowl of acknowledgement and turned to the big barrels. It'll be sour, she knew, with the slop bucket under the tap tipped back in every night, and the spigot not put back, and, yes, it was going to be served in a leather tankard that had probably never been washed. A couple of new recruits were already knocking back their pints, though, with every audible sign of enjoyment. But this was Plune, after all. Anything that made you forget you were there was probably worth drinking. One of them said, "Lovely pint, this, eh?" And the boy next to him belched and said, "Best I've tasted, yeah." Polly sniffed at the tankard. The contents smelled like something she wouldn't feed to pigs. She took a sip and completely changed her opinion. She would feed it to pigs. "Those lads have never tasted beer before," she told herself. "It's like Dad said. Out in the country there are lads who join up for an uninhabited pair of breeches. And they'll drink this muck and pretend to enjoy it like men. Hey, up, we supped some stuff last night, eh, lads? And then next thing..." Oh, Lord, that reminded her. What would the privy be like here? The men's one out in the yard back at home was bad enough. Polly sloshed two big pails of water into it every morning while trying not to breathe. There was weird green moss growing on the slate floor, and the Duchess was a good inn. It had customers who took their boots off before going to bed. She narrowed her eyes. This stupid fool in front of her, a man making one long eyebrow do the work of two, was serving them slops and foul vinegar just before they marched off to war.
"This beer," said Igor on her right, "tastes of horthpith."
Polly stood back. Even in a bar like this, that was killing talk.
"Oh, you'd know, would you?" said the barman, looming over the boy. "Drunk horse piss, have you?"
"Yes," said Igor.
The barman stuck a fist in front of Igor's face.
"Now you listen to me, you lisping little—"
A slim black arm appeared with amazing speed, and a pale hand caught the man's wrist. The one eyebrow contorted in sudden agony.
"Now it's like this," said Maledict calmly. "We're soldiers of the Duchess, agreed. Just say arg."
He must have squeezed. The man groaned.
"Thank you. And you're serving up as beer a liquid best described as foul water,"
Maledict went on in the same level conversational tone.
"I, of course, don't drink horse piss. But I have a highly developed sense of smell, and really would prefer not to list aloud the things I can smell in this murk. So we'll just say rat droppings and leave it at that, shall we? Just whimper. Good man."
At the end of the bar, one of the new recruits threw up. Maledict nodded with satisfaction. The barman's fingers had gone white.
"Incapacitating a soldier of her grace in wartime is a treasonable offence," he said. He leaned forward. "Punishable, of course, by death."
Maledict pronounced the word with a certain delight.
"However, if there happened to be another barrel of beer around the place, you know, good stuff, The stuff you'd keep for your friends, if you had any friends, then I'm sure we could forget this little incident.